Hello and welcome to another episode of I'm on My Period Piece. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Molly.
And we are the Sherman Sisters. I'm on My Period Piece is the podcast where we watch costume dramas and talk about them.
What do we talk about? We talk about what we liked, what we hated, what is true to life, what was a complete fabrication, which was most of this movie.
Right. We talk a lot about Vanessa Redgrave, Kate Blanchett, Kate Winslet, fabulous women with the cheekbones situation on lock.
And you know, in between, you might learn something about us.
You might.
So this week we're talking about Anonymous. It is, you know, I'll save my stronger words for later, but let's just say subpar.
It's a 2011 film with a 42% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
And I felt that to be generous.
Yeah. Honestly, same.
Honestly.
But we chose this one as a continuation of Vanessa Redgrave May.
So this would be the end of our Vanessa Redgrave May series, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. We're recording these a little bit ahead of time. But.
Yes. So, I mean, I feel, you know what? You know what? I'm going to save and I'm going to organize my thoughts for that later, but like, let's do a real quick sync up.
Yeah.
I've seen a decent amount of you this week, so I don't know how much we have to catch up each other. Catch up on me.
Yeah. So let's sync up though. How's your birth week been?
My birth week has been good. Monday was my birthday. I am 46 years young. Just kidding.
She wishes she was 46. Instagram.
I do wish I was 46 because I just know that first of all, up and to the right, I feel like I'm going to have some good money when I'm 46. And with that good money will come good work.
Mm-hmm, trust.
But personally, I feel like maybe I won't even need it.
Yeah, maintenance
honestly,
is key.
I like to cast a clear vision on my birthday of, like, mm-hmm. where I'll be.
Mm-hmm. And you said in 20 years, my forehead will be lineless.
Lineless. Just smooth. Like, you could play air hockey on it. And, you know, I haven't decided what the plan is with boobs, if we're going bigger, if we're just giving him a little lift.
You know, I see, like, I say, like, let's see if you breastfeed at all.
Yeah,
and then see what
that's
the situation
a bigger conversation,
you know.
But like, sure. All this to say, like, you know, I feel pretty good about it. I had a good birthday. Mm-hmm. I think it's like Oprah who's like, your birthday determines how your year goes, which is like, not true. And
yeah, because you know my 30th birthday was like incredibly celebratory, and then like six months later, the world came crashing down around me
that
on Kafkaian election night.
Surprise party we threw you could not stop Trump.
It really couldn't, you know.
And I really put my all into that.
As much vision board casting as we did, it just was not gonna happen.
It's not realistic.
It's not realistic. Well,
it's
I mean,
realistic.
Oh God, don't but get me started. Don't even get me started.
My birthday has been dope. I feel like I've had something going on every single night. You and I hung out on Monday.
We sure did,
We went to Odd Duck, which was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was delicious.
Yeah. That sourdough that we ordered two of.
It was editorial, really.
It was beautiful, but it attacked the roof of my mouth. So yesterday I was
like Captain Crunch mouth.
Yes, exactly. I was having a hard time eating yesterday morning, but everything was flawless. They have these Palomas that instead of salting the rim, they have like a salt foam.
I think like every morning I've woken up in a cold sweat because I just want it. Every one morning since I've been, I want to make that so bad. And I posted on Instagram, like, someone show me how to make a salt foam. And they're like, our chef at work was like, don't do it. Which I trust her.
It must be a major pain.
I bet it's a major pain.
I've been thinking about that every time I say major.
Every
pain,
major
I think
pain,
of...
I'm always. I imagine that scene of him like watering them like daisies.
But I've thought about the chocolate cake we had like a lot.
Oh my god, so good! And then after that, we got to see David Sedaris together. So like, yay. Teenage dream realized. He was super funny. He signed our books. Lindsay wore an Amy Sedaris necklace, uh-huh. like from Strangers with Candy, that she and I both have. And he drew it in my book, but he was like, it looks like Carol Channing, and a pretty good Carol Channing at that. he was pretty proud of that.
Yeah. Yeah, he was delightful. He was wearing some kind of getup. We saw him sitting there signing books. We're like, is he wearing shorts with his jacket? I mean, what? And then we saw, like, his Adidas socks were, like, poking out of the top of his shoes.
He's earned it.
But then, he, like, immediately acknowledged it. He said he had written some piece for The New Yorker about the fashion in Japan and how, like, he and his sisters were having so much much fun with it and whatever. And he's like, you know, I just feel like I don't have to say anything when I want to wear things like this. And I was like, you better.
But the truth is he doesn't. And when you reach a certain status in life, you really just have to, like, you don't have to say those things anymore. And actually, I think it's a matter of confidence. Like, if you were to just rock that and, like, have a cutting statement on hand for everyone, you would get away with it.
Totally. I also have to say, I was, like, so touched by the advice that he gave, because he had a Q&A.
Oh, yeah. And this that was girl, really good advice.
It was so kind. We didn't talk about this in the car, but this girl asked, like, what's your advice for an author or an aspiring author? And I feel like a lot of people get really, like, I don't know, they're like, well, you know what, just work hard, just keep working.
Oh, yeah, and they're like, or they'll just, like, go the cynical way of, like, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly, but he was very, like, you know, just, like, pay attention, and there are people who will want to be your promoters, and, like...
I guess, like, they'll be so happy they found you.
Right, so he's like, just, like, when people invite you to share your work, share your work.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, because he was like, I was invited to speak, and it was, like, 3 people, but then that person invited me to an 8-person thing, and then another person invited me to, like, a 15-person thing.
Right.
And I was like, I know how compound interest works, and this is only going to get better for
you. Exactly, and here you are filling up statements.
So it follows that in a couple months he'll be, like, selling out, like, arenas.
God, I love him.
He was wonderful. I loved it. What have you been up to, like, in the times not with me? Just, like, wishing you were hanging out with me?
Of course. Yeah. What did I do last night? I felt like I had, like, grand plans. Like, I'm going to get started reading our book for the book club, which I thought was about Grover Cleveland, but it's actually James Garfield.
Every few days, I got to remind. I'm just going to text you, like, when you're not thinking about it and be like, Lindsay, it's about James Garfield.
You should. But... instead, I just ended up, like, putting away my laundry and, like, listening to some podcasts or whatever. But shouts out to, like, On the Media. Do you ever listen to that?
No.
Bruh, it's such a good podcast. It's sort of about, like, how the media, like, talks about current issues. But, like, I don't know. The hosts are, like, really thorough. And they did a series that was about poverty that was really interesting.
I could be more about that. I think when you narrow it down to an issue that isn't the person who's currently in the Oval Office for some reason.
Right.
I can handle that a little better. I just genuinely do get, like, a little triggered thinking about
it. Yeah. The one I listened to yesterday was talking about, like, the wall situation and, like, whether it actually makes a lick of sense to do it. Spoiler alert, it doesn't.
Right.
Because, you know... the land is whatever. I mean, it's like, it just doesn't make sense. Well, there's that, but then they were like, there's a lot of, like, natural barriers that would prevent someone from being able to do anything.
Like a mountain range.
Right, right. So, anyway, so that was really interesting. And then the second segment was about how the word Jew gets used.
Oh, I'm interested in that. I actually had that discussion with someone recently because I didn't understand, like... I want to hear your opinion.
So the guy that was talking is a Jewish journalist, and he was saying, you know, clearly, like, Americans are uncomfortable with using the word Jew because we associate it with, like, loaded language. But he's like, what is a better word to describe someone who is Jewish? You know, like, he's like, so instead, presidents usually will say Jewish people instead of Happy Hanukkah to all the Jews, you know, or whatever. So it was kind of interesting, but it was him and Brooke Gladstone, who I gathered from the conversation is also Jewish, and they kind of came down on different sides of it, but it was just really, I don't know, it's an interesting little debate.
That is interesting, because, like, I think that maybe it was more that mostly I took, like, a lot of, like, race classes in college, and so I think it was, like, there was a certain sense of trust of, like, everyone in this room is cool, right? So, like, I think people just said Jew, like, Jews.
Yeah.
And it never rang in as hateful, and I guess I've actually never in my own, like, out in the world heard anyone use it hatefully.
Yeah.
Blessedly.
Yeah.
So as someone recently was like, ooh, but, like, it's kind of reminded me of on 30 Rock where she's like, Puerto Rican.
Yeah, like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, and, you know, also I just watched more 30 Rock last night.
Yeah.
As I'm wont to do.
I knew that without you telling me.
Yeah. I'm in season 6 right now, if anyone wanted to know.
A little bit of Handmaid's Tale, and that is, I can't even.
Yeah, I can't go there. I can't go there.
It's so good, and actually, like, dude, Elizabeth Moss is so great.
She's such a good actress.
She's so great.
My Lord. I miss Mad Men all the time.
I never really got into it. But at lunch yesterday, someone told Nicole that she looked like Elizabeth Moss. And she kind of does. But she was like, really? I don't think she's that pretty. And I was
like, she's gorgeous. What is she talking about?
I think she's so uniquely pretty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She's my type though. Like, yeah. Like I love like an unusual face, like kind of a Flemish painting face.
Yeah. Speaking of heavy fiction. Should we get into this film?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so let's oh boy. I might have to have you lead the discussion on this one, and I'll just hop in with a lot of exclamation points.
I was supposed to see this movie in a screening on the UT campus when Parker and I were dating, I guess. Or maybe it was like the first summer that we were married, and we just were looking like for fun, free things to do in an air conditioned space because my goodness. Mm-hmm. And they were like, screening of Anonymous. And I was like, oh, that sounds like it's up my alley. You know, it's like about Shakespeare. I was an English major. This sounds kind of interesting. It's got Vanessa Redgrave in it. So we get parked at the UT campus, and then we find out that it's full. So, of course, I didn't get to see it until...
That was God working in your life.
Right. So I didn't get to see it until last night. And you had seen it, but I guess you didn't know if you remembered much about it, or...
I had seen it. I remember vaguely thinking, like,
this is trash.
I don't remember actually thinking it was trash, but it was one of those things that, like, I remember thinking, like, this is not great. But, like, it's one of those movies that has... It's so frustrating because it has, like, a lot of... Like, if a machine were to make a movie based off of your general interest, it'd be like, this would be that movie. Like, do you remember Monuments Men?
Yes.
I never saw it, but it was, like, art history movie, World War II, Kate Blanchett. But was Brad Pitt in it, too?
It was, like, George Clooney, John Goodman... Bob Balaban, Kate Blanchett. I don't think Brad Pitt was in it.
Like, but... just across the board lauded as trash. So I just didn't even bother seeing it. Like, I read, scathing reviews of it.
We went to see it, and I was literally, like, rolling my eyes the whole time.
Right. And I remember a girl at work was, like, who was, like, kind of dumb, was like, I love that movie, but I'm just weird. I like, you know, kind of artsy, bookish things like that. That's just me. I'm just weird. And I was like...
Don't you hate people like that?
I hate what you think, because first of all, it's not true. And it was like, okay, I'm sorry. Do you think I wear these glasses for fun? This is who I am.
Right.
And I want to like it, but it's not there for me.
There was a girl I knew in college, and you probably know exactly who I'm talking about, but just don't, like, shout names. But she, like, made it her, like, policy to be the girl that was, like... into things that were, like, thrown at intellectual people.
Shug, get over it.
Whether, like, they were good or not. And
that's
so...
There's no way to live your life.
I'm sure she probably had this in, like, her 8,000 long text block of movies that she loved on her Facebook profile at one point. But
it's... Okay. Let me just...
Well, let's get started on it.
Like, I'm going to let you... I'm just going to pass the baton on the plot part of it. Because
but
it
there are so many points where I was like, lies.
Well,
lies.
And I should have known, because first of all, the movie takes itself so seriously, and that it opens with a one-man play about what we're about to see. And it's supposed to be like an academic thing, which... No, like, he's, like, selling out, like, the Richard Rogers Theater, and, like...
Which, like, what was that font? Did you catch... It was, like, some font that I've seen. It's not papyrus, but it's something similar.
Oh, no.
That was, like, all the credits, and I was like, oh, no.
Some Cyrillic-looking thing.
Yes, it was so
trash. My gosh. No, and so it's, like, old man is, like... let me tell you, he used a phrase that actually, like, cracked me up.
Irrefutably illiterate.
Set in the political snake pit of Elizabethan England.
Oh, yeah.
And I just put, my.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, he's got, like, fake thunder and lightning. And at that point, I should have been like, what a hack.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's, if you go to a Shakespeare lecture, it's, like, fluorescent lights.
Trust.
The dude is dressed like shit. And
you can smell the coffee on his breath.
You can smell the coffee from the back row. Yes. And he's like, well, you know, people say, but I don't really know. This guy's out there. And, like, he's, like, TED talking it. And then we cut to just...
Well, so...
This movie, I truly believe, was directed, produced... funded by the band My Chemical Romance. It was exactly their brand of, like, the drama, the guy liner.
But,
like,
it was the guy liner situation
in
this film.
But it looked good, I'm going to be honest about that.
But also the, like, just the conspiracy theory element. So if you're not familiar with the plot of this film, because we've just danced around it, it is a Shakespearean conspiracy theory. So, but boy, I thought they were going to leave it at that, and there were layers upon layers of
conspiracy theory. And they didn't even leave any room for them to have been wrong about it.
No.
Which I guess, like, it's not trying to be an academic movie, but it was like, let me take a theory that I think is sexy and run it into the ground.
So at the beginning, this, like, old hack man who's pretending to be Steve Jobs or whatever, is like
Steve Careers.
He says something about like how, you know, William Shakespeare was irrefutably illiterate, and there is not a single known manuscript that is in his handwriting of any of his plays. And I was like, I made a note like several times, like, look this up. Is this true? Is this true? And I never found anything about that. But then they like cut to this like Ben Jonson playwright character who I've heard of. Ben Jonson.
God. That dude's acting. What was that voice? He was like, I'm Ben Jonson. I'm a playwright.
I have integrity.
I've got integrity.
So he's being chased by these like Kingsguard, I guess, into the globe, which he just like lets them burn it down. And he puts all these like manuscripts in a metal box, which we don't find out till like the last scene they survive or whatever. The other thing is, this movie jumps back and forth in time, like, just constantly.
Was that a flashback? Or at the beginning, was that, like, at the front?
So, okay, the old man is speaking on the stage, and then he's like, let's watch the play.
Sure, yeah.
And then they, like, act like this is going to be a play, but then it turns into, like, a movie set or whatever, which I tried to explain that to Parker last night, and he was like, what?
Because it was giving me sloppy. A headache. It was sloppy.
It's so messy. So, yeah, Ben Johnson's, like, running away from these Kingsguard, whatever. And then they flash back to before that, where... there's all these people watching a play, and Oxford, who is played by Reese Ifans?
I think it's Ifans, but, you know, this is, like, I could find an answer to it, but I would get the way you talk about
Reese.
It. And you know, Reese, my boy.
What's wild is, like, last week, I think, when I found out he was in this, I was like, oh, I love that guy. This will be great. No, it's just actual trash. So,
it's just all, like, thoroughly trash.
Thoroughly trash. So he is, like, guyliner to hell and back. And he's with a guy who I just originally described as Hair Cape. I later found out his name was Southampton.
Beautiful.
But his hair is, there's no way.
But that, and you know what? Just real quick, the guy in that, he was in something else.
He was in Twilight.
He was in Twilight, but he also was in, I don't know if you ever saw, and frankly, I don't know why I did, the movie Adore.
No, who's in that?
It is Robin Wright.
Oh, I love her.
Love her. Naomi Campbell. And
love her.
That guy plays one of their two sons. And those two, basically, it's like son swap. Like, but on accident, they're both like, this shouldn't happen. But like their sons are like 19
it's like
or 20.
Mother and lover.
It's a mother lover situation.
Gross.
It was gross. But then he was like really in love with Robin Wright. And it's like.
But like, who wouldn't be?
Right. No, I get it. But then she's like, you need to go marry someone your own age. Have like. A grandbaby or something for us. Like we can't be doing this.
Ooh,
anyway,
mess.
But I was like, I've seen that pretty boy somewhere.
I looked at his IMDb and I like couldn't recognize him from anything, but he looks like so familiar to me. So he's got this crazy wig that is like,
oh my God.
I mean, beach waved to hell and back. It is like so,
beach waves.
It's like so
how to
elegantly
get the
curled.
Southampton hair.
There's just no way that anybody had hair like that.
There are actually just so many pretty blonde boys in this, like with
it's
ridiculous.
Crazy.
And I've, Jamie Campbell Bauer also
oh,
up
Lord
in the mix.
Mercy.
We're going to get to that. Anyway, so he's hanging out with Southampton. Southampton takes him to the Globe. He's like, check it out. It's great. Like, whatever. Ben Johnson gets arrested. And who bails him out but the Earl of Oxford with his guy liner?
Right. And when he goes to find his benefactor who has bailed him out.
Right.
Oxford, he's got his, you know, guy liner on fleek, starts, like, waxing poetic about, like, the importance of...
Words.
Poetry and beauty and whatever. I don't know if this was before this. There was a scene where, like, they were playing a racquetball game, and the Earl of...
I loved that racquetball game!
Yeah, the Earl of Oxford was, like, talking about...
It's actually tennis. That's what they did with tennis in the day.
They just played it inside?
Yeah.
Stupid. Anyway, so he's, like, talking to Essex and Southampton about, if you can, like, get people's, you know... attention with your words, then you can control everything. Because this play that they had been seeing... was, like, shut down for sedition or whatever. Anyways, so Essex, then they, like, talk about rumors that he is Queen Elizabeth's son, which I had... Okay, this movie plays this card not once, not twice, thrice.
Three times, and I have to tell you...
And I had
there's,
never
it,
heard
none
it.
Of that held any water. I looked it up. Like, there's...
Not a lick of it.
There was no, like, prominent rumor that she had, a bastard son anywhere.
No.
Like, it was like, okay, look, we know she's not really a virgin, obviously.
Right.
But, like... I don't actually think she ever bore any kids.
But you know what's wild is I looked up...
Or she did, like, none of them were, like, chilling in the court waiting for their time.
Right. So they made it seem in this movie, like, when she had children, that her guy, Lord Cecil, would just, like, take the baby and, like, place it somewhere and not tell her who the kid was. So he'd be placed in, like, a noble family, and she'd be, like, interacting with these people, but just didn't know that that was her son, which I'm going to call bullshit on that so hard. There's no way that
There's you no wouldn't way. Know.
So, anyways, Essex, I looked him up. He was actually the son of Robert Dudley.
Yeah.
Which was her, like, lover. That makes sense. With Lettuce Knollys, who...
Pardon?
Her name was Lettuce.
Excuse you.
That was, I think that was his mother, and she hated Lettuce Knollys because of, you know, Dudley was her.
To, like, her lover.
Right. So, anyways, all that to say, there's no way that's true. So, Essex, there's, like, they're talking about how, like, oh, you know, there's the whole question of, like, who's going to succeed Elizabeth is, like, swirling around in the air because she's getting old. She doesn't have an acknowledged child, and they don't want the Scottish king to come be their king. Anyway, so then they show Cecil. Both of them are creepy and boring, whatever. Mm-hmm. The oldest and the youngest. The old one is played by, what's his face, though? And I love this dude.
David Thewlis.
David Thewlis. Mm-hmm. He's on the season of Fargo. Girl.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. And then the little boy who plays Robert Cecil.
So creepy.
Edward Hogg with two G's. He's on Harlots. He's Thomas, Thomas Haxby.
Wow, I just did not make that connection.
Yeah, he's, that's kind of like the same role he sort of plays.
He's on Taboo, too. That just ended.
He's on a lot of things, dude.
Wait, he was in Mary Queen of Scots. What was that? Was it like a TV show?
I don't know. We'll have to look into that. Girl, idiot.
Anyway, so, then they cut to, our girl Ness playing Good Queen Bess.
First of all, I want to commend you on that rhyme.
Thank you. And they just really went for accuracy with those teeth. It was such a read.
I know. But I actually, like, one of the things that upset me about this is that I actually think that she and my wife, Kate Blanchett, both have, like, the kind of, like, screen presence and, like, this, like, kind of calm power that I think that they're both born to play that role. And I'm queenly. Very queenly. And I'm so upset that, like, her chance to play, like, an elderly Queen Elizabeth was spoiled on this garbage pile.
I mean to tell you, I know, because she did it so well. I mean, she really, like, that's what I picture an older Elizabeth being like, except, no. There were a couple things in the writing of this that I was like,
she goes, I can do what I want.
Right. She's not stupid. She was a genius stateswoman.
They made her sound super stupid. Ugh. And she's not.
So then they flash back and they showed her daughter Jolie Richardson.
As a younger
Queen
Elizabeth. Which I thought was obviously a good casting choice. And obviously a pretty obvious one.
And she's so beautiful. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And then they show her meeting the young Earl of Oxford, who has written what is apparently A Midsummer Night's Dream, which, come on, please.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know how many people covered Mr. Tambourine Man, like, in the 40s? Like, I don't doubt that there was probably another time in Elizabeth's life where she might have seen another movie where someone has the head of an ass.
Right.
Because that's the kind
of... Well, no, they were using, like, the actual...
I know, they were using, like, the, like, to sleep, perchance to dream, whatever. Yeah. It's, like, kind of, like, I think a lot of things, like, we like to give attribution to one person because that's how we are modern day. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times it was just a big old gumbo pot of, like...
Totally.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Because it's like, publishing rights were not a thing.
No.
Or they were probably, but in a really weird, nuanced way that I don't care to research.
Totally. Yeah. I think we have a lot more, like, territorial attitude about intellectual property than people did back then. So anyways, Cecil keeps telling her that plays are a sin. So she says, if plays are indeed such a sin, I pray I do not find my salvation until very late in life.
So clever.
Now we're back to the part where Oxford has bailed Ben Jonson out of prison. There's a lot of time hopping. Sorry.
Yeah.
You find out that he's married to Cecil's daughter. Whoops. So Cecil is this, like, Puritan guy who, like, doesn't believe in art, music, oughts.
The oughts. And he doesn't really give a good reason. It's like, it was almost like comically like, we don't play baseball in this house, son. Like,
it was like the small town from Footloose.
Yes. Like, we don't dance, and I don't need to give you a reason.
Exactly.
Like, plays are from Satan, and I'm not going to elaborate on that.
Right. So, and Oxford talks about, like, the importance of art. You know, he's being one of those, like, blowhards.
He's having really one of those moments.
Yeah.
Like, if he could have whipped out, like, if it were not ahead of his time for him to whip out a Guy Fawkes mask, he would have. It was, like, in his back pocket.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. If it wasn't just, you know, 100 years too soon.
Yeah.
So, you find out that the Earl of Oxford was raised towards the end of his childhood by the Cecil family. In reality, apparently his parents died and he became a ward of Queen Elizabeth, and then so she just let the Cecils raise him.
Well, it seems like he was a lot closer to Lord Burghley.
Good choice.
Good choice. Right. Good call, my man.
So, so the young Earl of Oxford is played by Jamie Campbell Bower, and
he, kid, I just like, oh, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Just so he's out here, he's like trying, he basically like very, in no time at all, like sleeps with Elizabeth.
Yeah, so, well, actually though, he marries Cecil's daughter, and in this film, that's because he killed a servant. I'm not really sure of who it was that he killed, who was stealing one of his plays. And so Cecil's like, to make this right, and if you don't want me to, like, have you hanged, you're going to marry my daughter because she has a crush on you. I looked this up, and apparently, no. Like, Oxford was the one that wanted to marry her. She was 14.
I just, like, there was a certain point where I was, like, holding this against the movie, or, like, against real life, and was like, none of this matches up.
No, not any
of it. It was just, a fantasy.
Totally.
And I just, okay. So,
they show Jamie Campbell Bower saying, surely there's room for beauty and art. And Cecil goes, not in this household. Yes.
There's, and then, like, I don't even want to spoil, like, later on, he said he'd give up the writing. And his wife is like, you're doing it, aren't you? You're writing again.
Like, the voice is in my head.
I know. I really felt like there were maybe no women in the writer's room to be like, this is trash. Because it's like totally like male bloviating on like, this is my art, totally. Mom.
That's the thing, is like they seem to have no problem whatsoever with this alternate reality in which there is a male genius who's creating all this stuff and having to pass it off as someone else's work. But I'm like, how many female geniuses
actually
have to do that?
If you guys want to do something rooted in fact, like there's plenty of female authors who had to do that.
Right.
And I actually, it's like also, it feels really classist to be like, Billy Shakes. Yeah. He couldn't read or anything. He didn't write.
he was irrefutably illiterate.
He was lucky to make a fire in his own house. He is just an idiot. God. Couldn't do well. But then, so they're like, "Who should we hire to play this?" Okay, we're going so slow on this. I want to like get ahead.
Yeah,
no,
we do.
So
yeah, there's just a lot to say. So Cecil basically is, Oxford is like, "Hey, Johnson, you're going to have to be my dude." But Johnson's like a little, you know, skeptical about it. He's a little scared. So when they perform, what was it, Henry V?
Yeah, which looked dope.
Yeah, he doesn't put his name on the programs. And mm-hmm. So all these people are like, bring out the playwright, bring out the playwright. And William Shakespeare at this point dips his finger in the ink nib and comes out and is like, oh, I did it.
His little drunk friend William Shakespeare is like, so what's his say about a royal man paying you?
Yeah.
And so he like was like, I'll do it. And so they get like
Billy Shakes seems like he is like a total method actor. Where he's like, I love to act. Yes. I'm here to act.
He's such a dum-dum. And they like, one of my favorite things is like when actors that I know grew up well off, or just like British people that I know grew up well off, have to put on like a Cockney accent, because it makes me think of like, if we had to see Gwyneth Paltrow, say for example, play a country star and then country strong, and you're like, where do you get off? Like Rafe Spall, his dad is Peter Pettigrew.
Is that right?
Yes, Timothy Spall. Like he grew, it's like how Lily Allen put on that fake accent for years and she grew up really wealthy.
Yeah. Please, girl, we know what's up.
We know what's up, and like I had fun too. We all had fun with you wearing those little cocktail dresses and like putting on a weird voice, but like the time is time to time. Be real about
the time is time to time.
Like just be real about where you grew up. Like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So,
but also I did put like Ray Spall's taco meat. Like he had that rug hanging out.
Also, his hair was also something. It was,
you know what though?
Beach
I actually
situation.
Like. I think he had so much fun with that role that I was like, I get it. He's kind of fun.
Do you know who else is having so much fun with their role? Was whoever was playing Kit Marlowe. They made him so bitchy. He was
so bitchy. And he seemed to hint that he like had a crush on Southampton.
Yes.
And then they never, like, I put my note on this and I never followed up. Was like, Southampton and Ben Marlowe, gay shit? Look up the gay shit.
they never elucidated
it. I actually, because I spent some time on Southampton's Wikipedia today. And it was like, well, recently there was a painting uncovered where he looks very androgynous, but not really.
He actually, like, always did have that long hair.
Yeah,
like,
he wild. Had 23 inches or better.
He
for sure.
Weared of himself the long hairs.
He weared of himself the long hairs.
So then Oxford gets kind of pissed that Shakespeare gets the credit. Then they have a flashback to young Oxford, Jamie Campbell Bower, having a little affair with the queen. Mm-hmm. And like, they act like she knew all of his plays. Like, while they're having like pillow talk, she's like, are you a this or a that? No, gross. You're a puck. And I was like, you know what? No. Like,
do you think that whoever is like sleeping with Seth MacFarlane is like,
is it a jackal? How about a jackal? Is it a jackal?
And he probably eats it up.
I hope nobody's sleeping with Seth MacFarlane.
You know who did?
Amanda Bynes.
No. Well, yes, but you're not going to like what I'm about to say. Emilia Clarke, Daenerys.
No.
For a while.
Danny girl.
Nightly, tightly, and ever so wrongly. She was like, they were like an item.
Danny girl, you're the mother of dragons. What you up to?
No, she probably was like, good night. Shut up, Meg.
Oh, that's so gross. Girl, I wish you hadn't told me that.
Well, I have to live with it, too. They had, like, a weird Mary-Kay Letourneau thing.
Yeah, and she was wearing this, like, amazing metallic striped linen nightgown.
Like, that's no lie, she looked great. But, like, add any, like, classic montage song over that, what would you do? Because I have two answers.
Of this play's going well?
Yeah, it's like, there's, like, this one. It's selling out. Romeo and Juliet,
I haven't
selling
even thought
out.
About it. What would your answers be?
If it's a real song, New Attitude by Patti LaBelle.
That's so I'm good. Feeling good from my head to my shoes.
We saw Patti LaBelle at the rodeo this year.
It was great. It was crazy. But then I also put, like, I want someone to rework the Knax, My Sharona, into My Verona. Like, do-do-do-do-do-do. And then it's like Willie Shakespeare just being like, ha-ha-ha-ha. Because everything's turning up William.
And he, like, has Ben Jonson's plays, like, banned from the Globe.
Oh, was, yeah. He, like, does exactly what I would do with power.
It's a petty move.
Which is spite the people who got me there. But also, like, Oxford, every time he's like, here, try this play out. He, like, goes into his, I will say, a beautifully appointed office.
But he acts like
he's like, just he had these, like, just sitting in the cannon, ready to go.
8,000 genius plays.
Right.
They make a big deal out of, like, the fact that Romeo and Juliet was written in iambic pentameter.
Oh,
and everyone's
yes.
like, was it hard?
Yeah, no, I wrote this. Ben Jonson goes, all of it? And by iambic pentameter? Is that possible? And he goes, of course it is. It reminded me so much of in Devil Wears Prada. She's like, are those the Chanel boots?
Yeah
they are.
There's a line from that movie for every scenario in life.
Literally every
just genuinely all of them.
$8 worth of Jarls were in that sandwich.
Okay, I did have to say, at one point, I wrote all my notes like, chronologically, and you'll notice that towards the end of the film, I was like,
big ol' fart noise.
But there was a scene where Elizabeth's like, they show like her in old age watching these plays.
Yeah.
And she's literally ripping her bodice off. Did you see that?
No.
She's like, they show her like kind of, I was like, is she itching something on her like boobies or whatever? And then they like show her like taking these pins out of her bodice. And then like, she's just sitting there in her corset. What was the point of that? Like, a bodice ripper? Like, come on. No. Anyways, so...
No. Okay. And this is what I... This is back to that point that I made earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't... I will look it up and I'll be proven wrong in 0.3 seconds, but I just literally have such a hard time imagining women in that writer's room. Because it's like...
No, there's
like,
no way.
What do women do when they get all hot and bothered?
They rip their bodices.
They rip their bodices.
So, then they go back to another flashback where, like, Elizabeth, Jolie Richardson, Elizabeth, is like, I'm pregnant, and I'm keeping it, and I want to marry him.
You're like, you can't do that, Mom.
And he's married, like, and she's
I
like,
can do what I want.
They make her sound like she's, like, some kind of insolent teenager.
I'm yes, like, she sounds kidding? Like Dan in real life, like, you're a murderer of love.
Yes. So, Cecil says, like, we must do as we've done before. This is, like, the first reference to there have been having been multiple children.
Right.
And then so I, like, at that point in the film, like, Googled some stuff and I came up with, like, Prince Tudor theories was, like, apparently a thing that was popular in the 20s when this Oxfordian theory of Shakespearean authorship was popular. And so then I just wrote, this shit is wild, though. Fake news.
I put fake news in my notes.
Fake news.
This whole movie is fake news.
And then they,
this
like...
This is an Alex Jones production.
Totally. And then they have, like, Kit Marlowe gets, his throat gets slit, allegedly, by William Shakespeare because he was going to go, like... he was gonna go like in their little gig that they were doing. And then did you see William Shakespeare had that like schnoz on a stick, schnoz nose? You know how those like Mr. Schnoz glasses?
No, I missed.
He had that on a stick.
Oh my god!
And he was like, you know, dancing around, like trying to sneak around and hear people, because he was going to try to find out who this benefactor was that was actually paying Johnson to pretend to be him. Yes, it was so stupid. And then so they flash back again and show that what's-his-nuts, Oxford has impregnated a housekeeper at their house, or a lady-in-waiting or whatever. So he's just, like, knocking women up left and right.
Right.
And then, so he's supposed to be banished from court and returned to his wife, because he gets arrested for that. I think it was for that. And and then, oh my gosh. Then there's just a lot of talk about, like, Mary Queen of Scots' son.
This also was, like, exposition station movie. Like,
so much
James
exposition.
James of Scotland.
As you know, the son of my cousin Mary. So Elizabeth says no son of hers will ever rule, which I was like, Juan. Because apparently, I don't know if this is true, but according to my horrible histories books that I read when I was an adolescent, every single ruler of England since then has been related to Mary Queen of Scots in some way.
Oh.
So it's like her revenge, you know. Anyways.
Got it.
So Elizabeth asks, older Elizabeth asks Cecil who her son is, and he's like, it's Southampton. Oh my goodness. So her love child with Oxford was supposed to be Harecape. which is crazy. In addition to Essex, which is like the open secret,
right? That surprised me a little bit, because I had forgotten that was a thing. So I was like, I sort of thought that, like, they were just buds, or like maybe too close of buds, Oxford and Southampton. But then I looked at them again, and I was like, oh yeah, no, they literally both have like the same like beautiful beachy hair,
right? The same like dark eyebrows with your blonde, yeah.
Right.
So then Johnson gets all salty that he can't do his shows at the Globe, and he goes to tattle to the Lord Chamberlain about the fact that Richard III is played as a hunchback, which is supposed to be an act of sedition against Lord Cecil.
Yes, and I actually do have to tell you, this is one thing, there's this and one other thing that I will give this movie ups for, apart from it having a good cast. One is that I felt like I actually understood the Winter of Our Discontent monologue more.
Uh-huh.
But I typically do feel that, like, I do better with Shakespeare when I see it, like, acted
performed
out.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm remotely alone in that, but so I was like, okay, that's pretty good. And I actually loved seeing the stage productions of things. If they could just show me more of that,
right?
Like seeing the Henry V thing, I was like, or was it Henry III?
I think it was the bowl cut. Henry V.
I thought it was. I've never read the historical ones, but except for, like, Julius Caesar.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I kind of get it more, like, you know.
Yeah.
I can imagine that would be, like, completely life-changing at that time period to go see that. The other thing I do think this movie does well, it's something I always appreciate in movies set in, like, Tudor England, is just showing the nasties.
Yeah, like, all the people, like, the groundlings.
Yes, well, not even... I meant, like, nasties as in, like, the condition of life, but I like that you went to, like, people.
Yeah.
No, like, when they're, like, walking in, like, the, like, just horse crap covered streets, and they have to, like toe heel it on those, like, boards. Ugh. That's so strange to think about. Like, I used to work downtown until, like, pretty recently our office moved. And when you walk by hotels, there's, like, just a sewage smell that comes out, especially on hot summer days. And it's disgusting, but I always think, like, I feel so close to the Tudors. Like, it just smells like someone just dumped a chamber pot at my feet.
Oh, gosh.
So anything, like, I always like when movies show, like, a true, like, the nastiness. Because every time I, like, read a book or watch a movie set in a time before, like, 1910, I'm always thinking, like, how do you go to the bathroom?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. So,
that was a big divergence.
No, that was a great, the Richard III thing though, I also complained about this to Parker while I was like cooking dinner last night, because, Shakespeare didn't, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but like he didn't make Richard III a hunchback to get back at Cecil. Richard
no,
III
he's
was a hunchback.
Character.
Well, but they
right—they
actually, like, found his skeleton, and sure enough, he had, like, a hunchback.
Right, but it's that's such a Jenna Maroney move to be like, you did this to spite me.
Right, right. So, anyways, So then there's like this big, I was really unclear on what this like riot situation was. I think it was supposed to be.
I'm unclear on that.
I guess it was supposed to be that the play was supposed to like stir up anger at Cecil's involvement in the court. And so they were supposed to go like try to remove him.
This
or something.
Movie just crapped its pants like 10 times over.
It so did.
Wouldn't
so,
get up, wouldn't go change.
Especially towards the end. I was like, what are you guys even doing?
What are you up to?
So then this is the most Escondalo part to me.
Oh, I know.
So you know what I'm about to say. Yeah. So they get
I'll get rid of you the same way I did Patch and Vivienne.
So Oxford is in the palace and Cecil's trying to get her Elizabeth to leave because he's like, there's all these like rebels outside, and I'm sure he probably knew they were there to like remove him, but he was like, they're here for you, whatever. So Cecil insinuates that Oxford is actually Elizabeth's son in addition to being her baby daddy,
right?
So he's like, so hope you enjoyed your incest. Like, it was super foul.
Incest machine broke.
Fix that. So he's like, you know, the first time, this is not the first time that she had a child. The first one was when she was 16 and we sent her out to the country, and which, you know, if there ever was a time that Elizabeth did have a kid, that would have been the time because she was like not that important at the time, but sure. Whatever. So, and we, you know, I gave her child to be raised by a noble family, and the person that stepped forward was dun, 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 Edward de Vere, your father. And which garbage. So at this point, I just really just thought this whole thing has shit the bed and there's not a lick of truth to any of this. And he like says something like, none of your poems or plays will ever carry your name. None. Also, then they show the dying Elizabeth sitting up and humming while she's sucking on her finger.
Which, okay. What? They really made like it's
like, what just, did she die of? I mean, it was just old age, right?
It was just old age, and I like to think that she was, like, as sharp as a tack on her way out, and, like, I but think that's the least like we owe her.
But, like, they make it seem like she was, like, physically fine, but mentally just not great. And dumb, I prefer dumb. To think that she was just, like, laying low. It right. just felt a little misogynistic in certain ways. Like, not intentionally, but, like, the way that they were portraying her, like, she was, like, a lost lamb and needed men to guide her. And I'm like, I prefer the Kate Blanchett reading of her, which is
correct.
That she was incredibly brilliant. I would actually brilliant.
Love to see Kate in her later years come back and make this right. Like, amen. To do, like, a later in her life Elizabeth.
Yeah.
But I need it to be on par with the first one and not Golden Age.
It'll be really hard for her to do that since she doesn't age.
She, that K2. Not K2, that's a drug.
SK2.
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 So, just, like, finish this. Just
yeah, I'm going to finish him.
Mercifully kill me.
So, yeah, again, I just kept writing. There's so much exposition in this film. Oh, my gosh. Oxford then has Johnson to his place, and he says something like, it's as he's dying. Mm-hmm. And he's like, my family can trace its history back to Cressy and Agincourt. And, you know, when I was born, I was one of the richest people in the realm, and now I'm dying one of the poorest. But I'm like,
that actually was the only thing I could find to be true.
But also, like, he was still in a big house. I mean,
right. I'm sorry that your stocks aren't doing so well, my dude.
Right. So, but then he, like, is like, hit, hit. You never told me what you thought of my work. Which was like, please compliment me.
I'm dying, and soon I will shuffle off this mortal coil. But do you think I'm pretty?
Oh, my gosh. So, he was like, at this point, Ben Johnson, like, unleashes his, like, your work is incomparable. It was wonderful. It's that's the most stupid genius thing in the entire world.
He, like, swallowed marbles for that voice.
Totally.
Yeah.
And he said something, like, as he's leaving, because Oxford's, like, Oxford's wife says something like, leave here, my husband's a fool. But that's not really what she literally said.
She had exactly just shy of one dimension as a character. Totally. Which was like, get out of here with your writing and your books.
God, all the female characters were like that. So he
just
says,
harpies or stupid.
So he says something like, you know, we will be remembered for living, and the queen will be remembered for living at the time that your husband's pen touched paper.
Oh, my God.
Garbage.
Yuck.
And then he says something like, he was something I could never be, an undeniable perfection. And at this point, I literally wrote, barf.
Yeah, and you did it beautifully.
Big, really bigly.
Real bigly.
So then they make it they go back to like old man River talking on the stage, and he's like, Shakespeare spent all the years after Elizabeth's death living as a grain merchant in Stratford.
Was that true?
I don't think so. And I at that point, I just wrote, like, I have to do so much fact-checking. It's, like, making my head spin. So the thing that I ended up Googling in bed last night was the Tudor Prince theory.
Mm-hmm. See, I didn't even know where to begin. Like, I started with the real characters, and it was like, there's nothing.
So they're the only, like... the only thing I could find that was, like, remotely anything about the Tudor Prince theory from the time was not any of the people that were in this film.
Right. I've heard another one.
Yeah, it was a guy who was named Arthur Dudley, and mm-hmm. which is funny, because our dog's name is Dudley, and we named him after Robert Lose Dudley. Arthur Dudley was, like, captured by Spanish pirates or something, and they were like, who are you? And he was like, I am the love child of Elizabeth and Robert Dudley. And so apparently the Spaniards and Lord Cecil, who remained in the court at that point, took it seriously. But I'm like, I just don't think so. It's like, you know, it's really...
It wouldn't shock me, actually, if she did have a kid with Robert Dudley, because heavens knows that they bumped uglies.
Girl, I did read about that, because apparently she had his room moved, like, right next to hers. But I was reading that apparently... the ideas of sex in Elizabethan England were, like, a little different than we expect.
Is it, like, what kids think sex is? Is, like, you get naked and lay down together?
No, I just mean, like, I think we, like, as a society, like, tend to carry this, like, our vision of the past is colored by Victorian ideals. Mm-hmm. So we think that everyone's absolutely scandalized by, like, premarital sex any time before, like,
yes,
you know, 1970.
Right.
But actually, they wouldn't have. And it apparently, at the time, they just viewed sex as, like, the natural outflowing of love with someone. Huh. And so they wouldn't have been scandalized by the thought of her sleeping with him. So I thought that was, so she had his room moved closer to hers, but apparently Lord Cecil was very against that.
Well, the one thing that I did see. Good times in his life.
No. The one thing that I did see that was interesting was that apparently Elizabeth in the 1560s, when she was like in her 30s, became very ill with, I can't remember what it was, and she thought she was going to die. And she made all these people, like, promise that Robert Dudley was going to continue to get his, like, £22,000 a year. And there was another person who worked in his household who she was like, and he needs to get £500 a year. And so people thought that was hush money, potentially. And then she recovered, and all her diaries talk about, like, her private sin, which is kind of interesting. So, but... It's not pointing to any of the people in this movie actually being that child.
Right. They really painted her as, like, a dumb idiot who did, like, who's slept, like, with her own son.
And, like, who gets pregnant repeatedly and just doesn't seem to know, like, oh, wow, how did this happen? Oh, no.
Right.
Girl.
It ain't gotta be like that.
No, there's no way. Because she was... If it did happen ever, I'm sure that it didn't happen, like, advanced into her reign.
Who even directed this movie?
It was Roland Emmerich, who...
Really?
Yeah. Who, I think he directed The Patriot, starring Mel Gibson.
I just want to know, like, there's so many ways in which a movie can go wrong. Like...
Yeah.
And I think Parker's brought this up before, too. It's like, it could be editing, honestly. Yes. Like...
So, Roland Emmerich has also directed... Independence Day, which people loved the first one, but then he also
did The Day After Tomorrow.
Independence Day Resurrection, Godzilla from 98, 2012. Which I
don't remember seeing that. Okay, this is all making a little more sense. Oh, and so, he's the one who's going to do that stone wall that doesn't apparently
He did 10,000 BC.
Yikes. That one actually had like a 0% rating.
Oh, no.
No, I'm thinking, am I thinking of year one? I'm thinking of year one.
I'm not sure.
Like, with that Jack Black, Michael Cera movie.
Anyways, so
that was
he has a little bit of a rough path. He directed a movie called Stonewall that came out in 2015. Was it about the Stonewall?
If that's the one I'm thinking of, yes. And there was a lot of drama around that because there's not a lot of actual gay or trans actors involved in it.
Yeah, I don't recognize
like
any.
Like Ron Perlman is in it.
I don't recognize any of these names except for Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yeah, It's going to be messy. Maybe it already came out and no one watched it.
2015, apparently.
Well, I guess that is more than so, a while ago.
All that to say, he has maybe an
maybe
issue
not
with...
the dude for this. Kenneth Branagh, he is not. Who deals very well with that stuff. And
we need to get into some Kenneth Branagh.
Well, I'm incredibly pleased you said that because I did a little bit of, like... I was thinking about this just now. I was like, we should probably tell people what movie we're doing next week every time so they can watch it. So it's not just like...
You want to choose one?
Yes. And I like doing this in series because it kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah. Kenneth Branagh June?
Yeah. Bitch read my mind. Yes. And I kind of wanted to go in order when he put them out. And I was thinking specifically Kenneth Branagh Shakespeare adaptations.
I love that idea.
Or adaptations. First,
it's going to be hard for us to say anything as critical as we did in this film.
Yes. I'm curious. Apparently he played D.H. Lawrence in some TV movie. I'll have to look into that. Okay.
Oh, he did Henry V.
I was about to say, let's start with Henry V from 1989.
Okay, that sounds great.
And then we will have to discuss his marriage to Helen, what was her name? I love her, and I can't think of her name.
Wait, who is he married to? Don't leave me hanging, girl.
Not anymore, but he was married to... help me out here.
Emma Thompson?
Emma Thompson. Why do I call her Helen? Emma Thompson.
They were married?
They were married for a while. And one of the movies that we're going to go over...
Much Ado About Nothing?
Much Ado About Nothing.
Is that how they met?
I don't think so.
Wow.
That's
wild.
They're no longer together. And it does make me sad because...
Did they have kids together?
Pretty, like, blonde couple. I don't know. Let me look it up.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Kenny Branny.
I love Emma Thompson.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
We could do a whole month of her films, to be honest.
I could
she's just really so
pretty
great.
Happy with that. They were married in 1989, divorced in 1995.
It looks like both of her children are with her.
Now, let me tell you something I find okay.
Current husband.
Interesting. And there was, oh, Lindsay.
What?
There was some overlap in his marriage to Emma Thompson with him dating Helena Bonham Carter.
Escándalo.
Okay. Anyway, we'll have to go over that. But next week we are doing Henry V with Kenneth Branagh. I'm super excited about it because I love him.
God, should we just plug it up?
I just don't even want to give another moment of thought to this movie.
If you're thinking of watching this film
and you haven't yet, first of all, kudos to you for listening to this entire podcast after not seeing.
Right.
The movie.
But if our, like, scathing remarks did not just turn you all the way off, like, let me just once more.
Go read the reviews.
Once more implore you. Just don't do it.
Please.
Just don't do it.
And it's like, you don't even really get to see Vanessa Redgrave shine in a role that she could be otherwise good at because they just made one of my heroes, like, seem like a dumb, dumb, dumb idiot.
Like a preening schoolgirl. Lovesick.
Isn't, like, anything more insulting to, like, one of the greatest statesmen in history.
Like a brilliant politician.
Right. To be like, well, she just was like, you know, really twisted up about some D.
She knew that was not necessary.
She knew.
The supply is always higher than the demand.
That is beyond true. Well, I really just don't have much more to say about this.
I don't either. So let's just wrap it up for this week.
Plug it up.
All right, so next week, Henry V, Kenneth Branagh, have a blessed one. Bye.
Bye.